This is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Our Old Testament lesson for the day comes from Ezekiel chapter 23, beginning with the 7th verse. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson for the day is from Romans chapter 13, the first 10 verses. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be. You will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once again, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus this morning. One day, a little girl went to her mother and asked, "Mama, why do you have so much gray hair?" Well, her mother looked at her sternly. She said, "Every gray hair represents a time when you were disobedient to me. I have gray hair because of your rebellion." Well, the little girl kind of looked confused and kind of thought for a minute. And she said, "Mama, so are you the reason Grandma has such gray hair?" The wisdom of children. In our gospel lesson today from Matthew 18, Jesus spoke about children being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It said, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Now over the years, people have read that and said, okay, we need to have childlike faith. When I say childlike faith, what does that bring up to your mind? Innocence? Trusting? Dependent? Unknowing and yet eager to learn? Sincere? Loving? Questioning? Exploring? You know, I could go on. Yes, all those qualities could describe a young child. And yes, many of those qualities we should have in our relationship with our Creator and our Savior. But what did Jesus mean by his comment in our lesson today? Well, let's take a look at the very next verse. "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Ah, there we go. Jesus is now referring to a particular attitude of children, which, by the way, escapes many of us adults. He's speaking about becoming like a child who is humble. Humility. That's a tough quality for us adults sometime. Speaking of becoming a child that is humble. Why is it so hard for us adults to be humble sometimes? Because we're so prideful. You know, sometimes we're full of ourselves. And we see what precipitated this particular discussion with Jesus. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" Now, do you think that question was childlike or childish? I think it's childish because they were, you know, that question was all about themselves. And really, when you think about it, what kind of a question is that for men that had been walking with the Son of God for all these days and weeks and years? Well, along with the positive childlike qualities that we have enumerated for children, of course, there are some things that are less than positive that I'll call childish qualities, like being jealous or being greedy or obstinate or disrespectful or disobedient, kind of like adults are sometimes, even adults that walk with Jesus. In fact, in Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus was even asking them about their discussion. In Mark 9, it says they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he, Jesus, asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest, who of them was the greatest. I mean, to have a debate like that, the disciples must have had thought of themselves very highly, right? Well, it's right after Jesus had told them that he had to go to Jerusalem and that he had to, you know, be put on trial by the religious leaders and that he would have to die, but he would rise again on the third day. And it's possible that they were jockeying for position in the kingdom of heaven. Again, more childish than childlike, don't you think? So Jesus had to set them straight. Humility is a key quality that Jesus was pointing out to them, and he's pointing it out to us today. Humility means that you know who's in charge and you know what your place is. You accept your position when you're in the presence of a superior being like God. In our relationship with God, it means that we're willing to accept ourselves as being of little account, being regarded as relatively unimportant. Recognizing that God is of greatest account and He is of utmost importance. It's a hard thing for us to really grasp when we get older. And in reality, that's not quite correct because we are of greatest importance to God. And we should regard ourselves as diminished importance compared to God. You see the difference there? It's when we consider ourselves too highly that we get into trouble. It's when we turn our focus inward and we focus on ourselves that the problem arises. Because then we get selfish. And as we said many times, all sin's basis is in selfishness. You know, what do I want? What pleases me? What do I want to receive? Rather than what God wants for me. I mean, that very notion is what caused sin to enter the world and mess up this world in the first place. I mean, think about the Garden of Eden. Eve was there. And the serpent, also known as Lucifer, came along. And he appealed to Eve's selfishness to deceive her into sinning against God's command not to touch the one tree in the whole garden, the tree of good and of knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 3, we read this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and it was pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She wanted to try this good-looking, good-tasting fruit, no matter that God told her not to. And she wanted wisdom. She wanted to be like God. She didn't trust God's word. She didn't take Him at His word. She thought she knew better. Kind of like a child. When you tell a child not to do something, what's the first thing they want to do? The very thing you told them not to do. That's being childish. And then, when Eve didn't die immediately, she took some to Adam. And he ate it too. And the world has never been the same. The world has devolved since then. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Childish behavior with deadly consequences. Not the type of character that God wanted in His perfect garden. And so He banned them from the perfect garden. Not the kind of character God wants in His perfect heaven either. God wants us to focus on Him, not on ourselves, because He is the parent. We are the children. That's our place. Children, you know, naturally and usually look up to adults, maybe parents, to know everything, right? And they're naturally dependent on their parents for everything. Children accept their position and they operate from that. Now what I mean by that is they don't deny who they are. They don't deny their position. And they're not afraid to ask questions, you know, so that they can learn. That's why little children ask why so many times. And it drives you crazy, doesn't it? Why this? And you give them an answer. Well, why? And you give them an answer. Well, why? And they keep on going. It's kind of like the daughter in the story that I started out with. She wasn't trying to provoke any kind of reaction. She was just trying to understand. No hidden agenda, no concealed motive, just pure inquisitiveness. That's how Jesus wants us to be with Him. That's how He wants us to be with His holy word. That's how He wants us to be with each other. Open. Unpretentious. No guile. But it's hard for us to do as adults. Because when, you know, as adults, we've learned through our sinful nature to disguise our motives, to camouflage our character, and to try to look better to other people. Young children have no such camouflage. Maybe that's why we love to be around them, because they're going to tell you the truth as they see it, and you never know what they're going to come up with. Now, there's other qualities that go along with humility that are in young children, like affection. I mean, how easily and spontaneously young children show their love for the people that care for them. It's ingrained in them. You know, you smile at them and they respond with these unsuspicious hearts. Kind of like a reflection of Jesus' love for us. Another attribute associated with humility is living by faith. You know, since young children know and accept their position, they know that they can do very little to care for themselves. And so they trust their parents and accept with faith that they're going to be taken care of. No worry, no anxiety. Something we could learn in our relationship with God. And then children have this trusting spirit to believe everything that they're told. They assume that everybody is speaking the truth to them until they get burned with a lie. Now, I could go on, but you can see that these desirable traits that maybe you wish you had, or maybe you wish other people had, but it's not easy in this devolved earth that we're living in. So why are these attributes, these childlike attributes that we've been talking about, why are they important for us to go over this morning? Well, they were important to Jesus, or He wouldn't have made it a point to bring it up with His disciples. You know what? We all had these attributes at one time. Do you realize that? We had them until our worldliness distorted them. But Jesus sets before us today these attributes so that He can bring us back to our youth. My friends, here is the key to the message today. Jesus sets before us these qualities of being childlike. And the reason He does that is so we can examine our relationship with Him and our relationship with other people. And we can strive for childlike responses in our life. When we're tempted to be childish, especially when we're tempted to be full of ourselves, we can recognize that we're headed in the wrong direction. And we can turn. And we can go in His direction. Because what did Jesus say in our gospel lesson today? He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Think about it this way, folks. These are the qualities of the inhabitants of heaven. Okay? How do we know that? Jesus just told us. As a matter of fact, there was another time when Jesus was surrounded by children. And it was contained in all three Gospels, or three of the Gospels. For example, in Mark, he records this. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Do you realize what he's saying there? He said, have you ever considered that heaven is populated by childlike people? Jesus just told us that our spirits are going to be childlike in heaven. That means our spirits will be humble. They'll be trusting. They'll be open. They'll be dependent. They'll be joyful. They'll be loving. No lofty egos up there. Not like here on earth. You know what? Kind of makes you want to stand back and kind of take a look at your kids again and your grandkids, because we can learn so much from them. Children are a gift from God. Jesus loves them. He showed us. God loves them. We love them too. And now, we have a new reason to marvel at the wonderful gift of children, because they can teach us how God wants us to be. Amen? Amen.